The Hillbilly Wreckers podcast is sponsored by POW Entertainment's favorite attorney, the Law Office of Christopher Hoff. For your family law issues such as divorce, child custody and visitation, support, and adoption, contact Chris at 815-355-8194 or through his website, hofflegal.com. A special thank you to Fonzie and the Dago Tees for use of their song King of the Hill as the Hillbilly Wreckers theme song.
Welcome everybody to the Hillbilly Wreckers podcast, and I'm telling you, T. Woods Saturday Night Fights, off the charts, something else, packed house, and what can I say? Big things are coming on the 4th in the record.
Yeah, big things. I mean, T. Wood was rocking. The end of the night had me in the ring separating Mike Blade and Kazile from killing each other. And speaking of Mike Blade,
right,
we have him right next to us here in the Hillbilly Record basement that we haven't been
in. It's an honor to be here, gentlemen.
There we go, yes, Mike Blade.
How you doing, man? I'm telling you.
Be here.
Now,
first, I gotta say something. Thank you for coming out there and saving Kazile from getting an ass whooping.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Hey, I saw Eric slide in. I was like, oh no,
save you from going to jail that night because I probably would have killed the kid.
Well, yeah. Actually, fans, this is sprouting off of Winthrop Harbor where Kazile had the upper hand on Meat Hooks O'Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Excessive. Everybody, Mary Jo, she's kind of like helps run the floor, and yeah, she stuck her nose in and said, like, hey, look, this has got to stop. This, you know,
yeah,
and so forth. Kazile gets in her face. You know, Mike, you turn around and did the honorable thing of...
You got to step up when
it's right. Kazile takes the cheap shot on you.
He did. He's got to learn some respect for whether it's in the ring. He's got to present himself. He's the champ.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got to do what he's got to do. But to cheap shot me like that...
Yeah.
And then disrespecting the way he did, it's wrong.
Well, you did give the receipt... At
I
the
did.
End of T-Woods, like yeah, you said, Wrecker, you possibly saved Kazile's life because, Mike, you were not playing around when you jumped in there.
No, I had enough of him showboating the way he did it and just disrespecting everybody. He just needed to be taught a lesson.
But it was very clever how you got his attention, you know, so
yeah,
you set it up. I mean, you can't...
He wasn't expecting it, that's for sure.
That's true. And come the 4th, it looks like there's going to be a showdown with you and Kazile.
Yep. Jimmy allowed this match to happen, and it spawns off of what Kazile was saying, that he issues the challenge to all former champions.
Right. You are
I am that former champion, so.
That's right. Matter of fact, the first, Wrestle Rage.
I was there.
That's right.
Long time ago. Oh, a long time ago.
Mike Blade, Brandon Bishop, Eric Freedom.
No,
man.
Fatal three-way, man.
In Woodstock, Illinois. Matter of fact, fans, I'll throw a little clip of that up there.
Mm-hmm.
But just becoming the first, CCW champion and so forth, your experience speaks for itself. So let's go back a little bit. When did you start this career of yours of pro wrestling?
I'd probably back in 93, 94 is when I actually got into the business. I mean, every kid's dream is to become a professional wrestler, right? Living the dream, you know. I got into the business by accident, pretty much.
Now, who was the promoter? Who got
It was Sonny Rogers was doing the promotion. It was at a place called Magic City in Waukegan.
Okay.
They were putting a show on there, and one of the workers at the time, we were in the front row with him, my right, friend's kids, and he came by there and tore up my kid's poster.
Oh, no.
So we were going to legitimately kick this guy's butt. We got up, and then Sonny came up to us thinking, okay, you guys ever thought about being wrestlers?
Right.
And then went to train under Sonny Rogers with Jimmy Blades at that time, and...
It was PWI then, right?
It was PWI Pro at Wrestling that time.
Pro Wrestling International.
Shout out.
Yeah. I wonder who ended up with that banner, because that banner was huge.
It was big. It was a big banner.
Oh, my God. Pro Wrestling International with Sonny Rogers. And so pretty much PWI, and experience-wise, Stylin' Shane Eaton.
He's been there a long time, too.
Yes. Wrestled with him in PWI. John Burke, which we all know that, you know, just recently passed.
Love it, bro.
A big influence on, you know, on myself, and he was always there to guide the right thing. And actually, you know, John, you know, he put on some good matches himself with Teddy Gregg.
And he was a big boy. He was over 350 pounds, probably closer to 400 pounds at that point.
Wow.
And, yeah, and it was like working a pillow. It was great.
He was a great guy to
wrestle and work with, you know.
Good times. Oshkosh, Wisconsin, you know.
The road trips to Oshkosh.
Just kind of like going back on your history, though. I mean, how many different promotions have you worked outside of, you know, PWI at the time?
I was working with WWA, Badger State Pro Wrestling. There was a couple other ones that are no longer around.
You had a little bit in PCW, didn't you?
Had some in PCW.
Yeah.
And then it went to, like I said, it was CCW and then POW Entertainment, so.
So, like you said, your experience-wise, do you think how do you think the wrestling was back when you got in to now, the younger generation
It's completely different.
Mentality-wise, work-wise?
Social media wise, we didn't have all the Facebook and the Instagram and all this stuff back in the day. So, you wanted to book shows or talk to a promoter, you had to pick up a telephone and call them. You couldn't FaceTime them and message them. It just didn't happen back
in the day. Or mail tapes out or something, right?
You had to beat the streets a little bit. If you wanted to be recognized, you had to go out and get yourself out there. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of traveling. You had to do it. And then, for me, I loved to wrestle. Yeah. It wasn't about the payday at the end of the day. It was more about the experience that I had, because that experience of going out there and wrestling in front of, whether it be 100 people or 5,000 people,
right,
that adrenaline rush, there's nothing other
than that. Oh, no, absolutely. Myself, you know, with starting as a ref and seeing what I'm getting myself into with Jimmy and the gang.
Good times.
I mean, have you always gotten along, you know, with Jimmy? And you guys have had some epic battles in Oshkosh, but give us a little bit of background of you, Jimmy, actually Mary Jo.
Respect with Jimmy has been amazing throughout my whole career since I've met him and he was training me back in the day. I've had nothing but respect for the guy. We've had our matches.
Yeah.
We've had some brutal knockdown, drag-out fights.
Now, with you dating Mary Jo and so forth, everybody knows, did Jimmy give you, like, open arms on that?
Oh, yeah, no, he was good with that. He was happy, and it's been a good relationship. It's, you know, back in the day when I was wrestling, Mary Jo was always doing, actually, she was doing 50-50s.
Yeah, she was.
I always kind of looked at her from afar, and she looked at me from afar. I was married at the time, she was married at the time. So, you know, nothing transpired. Well, flash forward 25 years or so later, we were both in the position to where, you know what?
Yeah, hey,
now it's time.
Right.
And
I says, not dipping in too far, though, but with the situations that it was, I mean, you were the guy to be there for her at
Absolutely.
That time. You know, which, you know, was great. But Mary Jo, she does do a lot around the promotion.
She's been around for a long time.
So she doesn't take no
everybody
shit.
Everybody knows her as Sister Blaze. So.
Yeah, Sister Blaze. Yeah, Mama Blaze, and now you got Sister Blaze.
Yep.
And all that. Working with CCW and being the champ and the roster back then, I mean, compared to the roster we have now, how do you see that?
I, you know, talent's going to get better over the years because there's more different stuff that they can do now, and there's different YouTube videos they can watch how to do moves and stuff. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you had to get in the ring, you had to train, and you get hurt. Mm-hmm. You get up, rub some dirt on it, and you get back to it, you know, and that's just how it was back in the day. But the talent nowadays, there's a lot of good talent out there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the guy that can flip the highest isn't the best. You know, there's got to be storylines involved with it. You got to have the people involved in the matches. The
psychology and so forth. Yeah.
That's how it's got to be, you know. It's like anything, you know. You're going there to have a good time and you got to entertain. Mm-hmm. And it's part of doing the show and it's... I love it.
Well, like you said, you've seen the revolving door.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, now we've got guys like Dukes. I mean, Jason Dukes is...
He's been around a long time, too. Shout out to Chef Terrio.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you got Dukes there. Every so often, you know, Yanni pops in and out. I mean, mm-hmm. A kid with a lot of experience. You know, as it goes, like I said, the revolving door with working with other promotions, you know Moondog, Greg Murray, Axel Rico.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. I mean, hell, even Acid Jazz, and he's been around forever, too.
There's a lot more independent organizations now than there was back in the day.
Well, we had the state,
state-regulated. It was actually the Boxing and Wrestling Association.
Yeah.
I mean, every show there was a doctor taking your blood pressure, making sure everything was good before you would even step out of that curtain.
You
weren't wrestling.
Yeah. You had to sign off saying that my blood pressure was taken and, you know, the heart rate and stuff like that. Yeah,
That's when we were in the history books because they had to post all that stuff and they had to list that stuff, you know?
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, that actually kept out, you know, some of the, you know, the backyard and the pop-up promotion.
Right.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm mad at you. I'm going to go start my own promotion. That's how it was like in the day. You know, now that it's not regulated anymore because you had to pay, had to prove the insurance, you had to pay the fee, mm-hmm. and you had to make sure these people got paid to be there.
Right.
You know, and only your prominent and better run promotions were able to do that. But once the state shut that down, it was just like...
Open the door.
Pop-up city.
Yeah.
You know, there's
another food truck around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, it was like everybody was running, you know. But it seemed to slow down, and now we have our prominent ones, and, you know, Jimmy and Pow Entertainment has weathered the storm of being the longest-running promotion in Illinois history. So it's... You know, it's something else. I mean, you got your promotions that have been around AAW. You got your Dream Wave, which was Revolution Championship Wrestling back in the day. Mm-hmm. And but your better ones, Freelance. So you got they weeded. Nowadays, it seemed like they weeded out. You know,
there's still a few key ones out there.
Yeah,
and they're surviving right now. We'll see what plans out.
Right.
And getting back to the talent that you were saying nowadays. I mean, I've been in business a long time, and I've seen Kazile when he was 5 years old.
Yeah, we both have.
Running around the ring and dancing around. So I've watched Kyle in his career. You know, the guy's got talent. I give him credit on that. But there comes a prestige with being a champ. And any talent that's coming up, you guys got to know your part. And that's just what it is.
Right.
You got to pay your dues and master your craft.
What do you think of that stipulation he put out there of former champions only? Do you think that might shut the door on some, like someone that could have their moment?
I mean, and there's other guys that are going to step up, I believe, in this situation. But you know what? It's a bold statement to come out and say, oh, I'm going to challenge any former champion. There's still some champions out there that are still former champions that are still pretty good, Dale.
Yeah.
That'll give you a schooling.
But I said it's just one of them type rules that I haven't, you know, really seen. Like all comers, you know, but now it's just former champions.
Right. Maybe he doesn't like to work the younger guys, you know. knowledge is power.
Right.
And if you're wrestling all these old former champions, they were champion for some reason. So I've got knowledge in my head that's got a little dust on it, But it's getting knocked off of it. But it's, you know, and I've probably forgotten more than this kid's ever going to remember right now. So, you know.
Right.
The talent's up and coming. So it's good to see the good talent.
Of all the, you know, your wrestling career and all that, any particular name that you worked or a match that stands out that you really said, you know, this is a good payoff of why I'm in the business? Any certain matches out there that you could possibly...
There was a match that Jimmy and I had done at Country Thunder.
Okay.
And at that point, I was... my gimmick name was Colt Jackson.
Okay.
And it was a hardcore match. The ropes were wrapped in barbed wire. When you hit the ropes were exploding. And it was just a crazy show. But it was a great night. At that point... I like being the Colt Jackson because I used to wear a leather vest. And when you hit the ropes with a leather vest on, it wasn't so bad as just a t-shirt. You know?
Right.
The sting was a little bit less.
No, that's...
But Jimmy and I with matches over the years, Jimmy and I have had some crazy matches. We've had a cage match. We've had hardcore matches.
Were you on the Sawdust Days?
I was on Sawdust Days too. You know what? I can't recall much of those days.
You know,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, Sawdust Days. I know it was outside.
The tent.
Under the tent. Yes. I was greener than goose shit.
I mean, you're walking around the big camcorders on your shoulders. You're trying to record the matches.
No, but I mean, as a ref, I know Rick Knight got his kick off of Sawdust Days because he came up with the with the EMTs and all of them use the walkie-talkies, you know, for any emergency services, you know, during the festivities, you know, because the festivity is huge,
right. Big.
He got on there, and Rick was like, "Where's the beer and hookers? Where's it?" And they found out it was him. He almost went to jail for that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, he got into some serious shit for that.
Oh wow!
You know, because that's FCC stuff. You can't. That's strictly
emergency. Yeah, no, that's
shit.
Emergency contact. You can't do that.
No, but Rick did it. I know.
You know, we were all a little crazy. You know, that's what made us. You know.
Oh man, what's one of the scariest things you've ever seen in the ring? And not particularly your match, but I mean another match or whatever. You're like, oh god, I hope that guy.
When Daz from Donnie broke his leg, that was pretty.
Yeah. Oh, at the Rage, so
yeah,
opening
match. Jumped off the rope that was not a good one. I've seen a lot of people lose a lot of blood over the years. But, you know.
You were there? You were at that?
I was at Daz and Don. Yeah, I was there at that show.
All right.
That was actually a fan of the show. You know, just because I haven't been in the ring in a long time doesn't mean I haven't been around watching these guys coming into the business and seeing what these kids got, you know. But that was probably one of the most, not a pretty one.
Anything that if you wanted to... try something. If you had the chance to try a different path, would you have tried a couple different things?
The wrestling career that I had and me, I'd love to do it. I would not have changed that for the world.
Nice. Now, Powell Entertainment, obviously what I'm reading here now, only 28 seats remain.
Wow.
It looks like we're going to have another,
show.
Late being on the venue there puts butts in the seats, man. No. That's, I mean, may have been a while, but I can still pack them in.
Do you have the butterflies going? I mean,
absolutely. That's been throughout my whole career. I'd always get nervous before a match and, you know, feel like I'd get sick. But, you know, that's just part of the butterflies and the passion that you have for the business. And I think once that's gone... Mm-hmm. Then you know you don't maybe not want might not want to do it anymore, but still now even going there and seeing these younger kids now the younger generation of these workers, I see them and I still get butterflies for them because I know the feeling that they're feeling that when they go out there and they come out of that curtain I know what they feel and it's a good great feeling.
But what if you become POW heavyweight champion?
What do you mean what if? I'm going to teach this kid a lesson. I got him. You know, I'm 55 years old. He's less than half my age. You know what? I give the kid respect.
Right.
I wish him the best of luck in this match. But, you know, we're to be a champion again, that would be great. And to be able, for me to be able to beat him is going to be a tough feat. But I have faith in myself, and then I still got this. You know, I mean, I can outsmart the kid. Worst case scenario, I can outsmart him. You know, and it's, you know,
that's true. I mean, that's why, you know, the old dogs.
I used to wrestle with his dad back in the day, so I know some of his dad's moves that he's passed on for generations. So
yeah, receding hairline and all.
Sorry,
because I couldn't resist.
Fired on that. Maybe I'll bring him some Rogaine for the show.
I couldn't resist.
Oh, shout out.
But no, I mean, he is second generation.
He's got knowledge.
Yeah, plenty of knowledge. And he's starting to get his name out there a little bit more, and he's traveling a little bit. I mean, he's an eye to, you know, someone to keep your eye on.
He's definitely an up-and-comer. He's still young yet. He's got a passion for the business. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been around all his life. So he understands what it involves to be the champion and to know what it's like, you know? Mm-hmm. It's long hours.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, it's wrestling is generational, you know.
It is absolutely
generational. My son is in it, you know. From what I understand, your son is getting ready to start the career.
He's going to be part of the family, so
yeah.
He's going to see what he can do about getting into it.
Kazile and Brian, I mean, there's a lot of second generation people, you know, coming in.
And I like it because it's good to see that, because it's like being in the trades.
Right.
You know, you want the next generation of electricians to be taught by their father, which is taught by his father. And, you know, that's just the way I think it works better that way, because it resorts back to knowledge is power. And you know, Dad, me telling my kids stories back in the day of wrestling, and him watching me wrestling, somebody, that's knowledge to him. And if he can push that forward and succeed, I stand by him 100%.
There you go. Yeah, always, you know, proud papa moments there.
It is.
I mean, granted, and Chris Hoff, I don't know where the bell is right now, but Chris Hedford, ding.
Ding, ding.
You know, I'm watching him pave his own way.
Absolutely. And,
I mean, granted, he's got talent on there that I wish that I could have worked with. You know, like Jason Dukes, Acid Jazz. You know, he just got rid of Logan Steele. Yeah. You know.
I think that was a mistake, but you got to do what you got to do. You got to kind of hold his part of the deal. You got to let him go.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's Logan Steele. He was supposed to be the powerhouse. But we'll see how the Reckoning survives without their main power.
Their big guy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you still have Tyler Sullivan and Sean Priest. We'll see, you know, how
that goes. And Jason Dukes.
And it's going to be interesting in what combination that they are going to use as they put their POW tag team titles on the line against Irish Pub Army there on the 4th. Irish Pub Army, no stranger to championship gold.
No.
The Reckoning is using that rule of any one of their members could be tag team champions. So
that's crazy. I mean, that gives them the advantage right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's another two-man advantage. You can have, you know,
you wouldn't know how to, you know, another team would not know how to train or how to watch, you know.
But I think IPA has got, they know what these guys are capable of doing. So I think that IPA is going to get a real good chance.
Well, it's now the foundation is starting to show a little bit of stress marks with Gavin O'Reilly and Meat Hooks O'Bannon. Gavin O'Reilly kind of gave Meat Hooks a shove at the end of their match with Disposable Income. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, will IPA be able to get over that hump to focus enough to a task on hand with the Reckoning?
It depends on how many beers they've had at home, or how many shots, but I think they will get along for the most part, and then do business within the ring, and then settle their own business outside of the ring, kind of.
I hope so, because they are definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah, you know? We'll sit at the pub after the match, and
we'll see how it goes. Enjoy
it. Yeah. Axel Rico, newly crowned Midwest champion, beating Acid Jazz, but Acid Jazz has his chance to regain that title with Chris Hedford. Ding! I'm sorry, Mr. Hoff. I mean, I've been moving stuff around here, and I don't know where the bell is. I honestly don't.
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting match between the two of them. They know each other very well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which way that match is going to go, to be honest with you. It just, they're both on the same level, I feel like.
Yes. And
that mountain.
When Axel Rico, you know, took the win, I mean, Fox Lake erupted.
Oh, yeah. He's got some fans out there, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and definitely you can follow him. He's everywhere. Check him out on Facebook. He is definitely in different other promotions. You will not be disappointed whatsoever if you go to see this man.
Absolutely. You know? He's a great talent.
Yes, definitely. All right. And a name that we have seen lady-wise, Shelly Benson, the Bombshell, making her return against the returning Maggie Lee. Again, Shelly is making a name for herself in the Chicago area.
Absolutely. She's done a great job.
Maggie Lee is all over the Midwest.
Yeah,
you know, sure. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be great to see these two again, you know, in the locker room. What can I say? You know, definitely going to be interesting. Now, Mateo Valentine and Moondog Greg Murray. Mm. T-Woods. Mateo comes running out to the ring and basically cost Moondog Murray his shot, right. You know, for winning. And the thing is, now, fans, if you weren't there, I'll put it in a nutshell. Greg Murray thought he had the three count, but it turned out that Kazio had his leg up under the ropes.
Yeah.
He counted three, and then there, between him and the other ref, it was, the decision was reversed because Brian Allen noticed the leg under the ropes. Restarted the match, and before you know it, Mateo comes out and gets Moondog Murray's attention.
Knocked him off the top ropes, if what I remember correctly.
And Kazio takes the opportunity.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, Mateo Valentine, he went from fan favorite to someone that has really done a 360.
Oh, yeah, absolutely has. And, you know, I had to separate the two of them. Before Mateo took the chair, Greg and Fox Lake had to dive in and save Greg there for everyone.
So. Well, you're just everybody's savior, aren't you?
You put the big guy on commentary, he's going to make some saves. So.
There's going to be a train wreck. You want to keep the train wrecker closer.
Yeah, right?
Right. Now, returning tag team of Heroes of Our Time, which basically got screwed out of the tag team titles in Winthrop Harbor.
Yeah, yeah.
They beat Disposable Income to gain it in that tag elimination match. And again, Chris Hedford, ding, and the Reckoning took advantage of a situation that they didn't have to put any work in.
No, you know, not at all.
That's how they do it.
You know, so,
hey, an easy win is an easy win, you know?
Yeah. But Mason Conrad, Joey Marks from Heroes of Our Time, maybe they have a score to settle from Winthrop Harbor, you know, with Disposable Income with the big man Tiny himself. So
we'll see there.
He's intimidating when he's standing there.
Yeah. And it seemed like it's not over just yet. Maybe a third time's the charm. Your boy Mason Perks, another pal up and comer that has really made a name for himself, taking on Will Emery.
I mean, this is just like a Rocky movie now. So they just keep going back and forth.
The Energizer Bunny versus the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm entertained. It keeps me watching. So they're going to put out another banger that's probably going to be match of the night.
They definitely set, they were the opening match at T-Wood. They definitely set the bar.
They did.
For the night.
Absolutely. And that's great when the guys come out there.
They did the same thing at Fox Lake, too.
Yeah.
They set the bar, and that was possibly match of the night there.
You know, basically, it's a tie because they both got counted out. Will Emery got the upper hand this one, so see if Mason could turn around and even the score. You know, but these guys here, again, Will Emery, an early pal guy.
Yeah.
And went away for a while. Come back, and he's just a different person, a different machine.
Yeah, it looks great, man.
You know, yeah. Definitely 0% body fat on him.
Yeah, pretty close. He's zero, maybe even under zero, if that's a thing.
Yes. And I guess you are billed for the main event of the night, taking on Kazayo.
With a special guest referee
in that match.
Someone you go many, many years back with.
Freedom and I have had our fair share of matches back in the day as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for him to be special guest referee, that's... I wasn't expecting that. And for him to step up and actually say that he wanted to do that...
Yeah.
That's an honorable. That's a good thing. I appreciate that. It's going to be interesting.
No, Eric places... goes way back. But now, the things that he's doing with UWE is, you know, a different venue than the Wex that they used to run.
Yeah.
Packing the place and so forth. It's great to see that he's, you know, running successfully up in Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
It's a passion, and he loves it.
Yes. I mean, how we've all, you know, been in it long enough, you know.
Yeah. And once you're in it, you're family for life, you know. Yeah. It's just how it is.
Well, I mean, it's just one of them things that, how can I say, it creates a certain set of memories that nothing else can create. Right. Yeah,
no. And you can't explain it to some people, and other people, they just get it.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'm kind of like curious to see what's going to be on the horizon on this. I mean, it's right now, like I said, according to the website, right now we have 28 seats remaining, and I'm sure by the time I get done getting this put together, there's going to be less.
Oh, yeah, that's hoping. It'll be another sold out show, that's for sure.
Front row and second row sold out.
Nice.
Sold out. And it says general admission, less than 28 seats remaining. So.
Get your tickets.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and
I'm coming back.
You know, we got set for our May 4th, which is coming up. We return back to T-Woods May 18th.
I'll be there.
Yeah. And June 1st, our summer Pride Explosion show. I mean, this show is...
2-for-1 show.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is going to be...
a lot of matches on that night.
Matter of fact, from what I understand, you know, there's like going to be about 10 matches.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
That's a great show.
I'm hoping that we start a little bit earlier.
Man, I don't think RJ can keep up with that.
Midnight matches.
Oh, my goodness. That's like an Ian Rotten show.
Oh, well, let's pull it off, man. We can do it.
Oh, my God. No, you know what Ian Rotten. Hey, look. Even though some of his shows were marathon shows, you had great talent.
You don't know who he is, do you?
Nope. Yeah, no. No? Okay.
No, he's too young.
he ran a promotion, IWA Mid-South, which is a lot of them tapes over there. And but Colt Cabana, CM Punk, Brian Danielson, list goes on of people that wrestled for him. And sometimes he would draw like 6 people. And the show would last.
Yep.
The show would last 4 hours.
Oh, jeez.
You know,
yeah, he didn't care. The talent. He wanted to get the talent out there, and the guys want to work in the locker room. They're going to work.
Yeah, and he really relied on his tape sales, which did him very well because of the names that he had on there. I mean, I think that I think Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and CM Punk. It was like a three-way dance. I mean, it's like a very phenomenal
match. That's a long time ago, too.
A phenomenal match, you know, and I'm sure I've got on one of the tapes. But
I'm sure it's buried there somewhere.
Before we kind of like wrap up this Express style type of show, any good road stories that we could turn around and hear out of Mike Wade before we get set for?
I wasn't much of the drinker guy as most of these. They're going to the bars. I that wasn't my thing. But remember, back in the day, I had an old busted up van, and Teddy Rack and I, we were doing a show for Bonomo down. I want to say it was in Springfield or something down there. So we're driving down there in my van. Well, he fell asleep in my van.
Oh no!
And the air conditioner wasn't working real well. So when he fell asleep, I switched it all over to my side. And like 3 hours later, he's waking up dripping sweat because he's got no air blowing on him. It's just like, what the hell happened? It, things like that. And then there's another time that we, Jimmy and I, and I forget who else was with us, but we went and stopped at some restaurant for breakfast or something. We ate our breakfast. We all went out. Jimmy had to go to the bathroom, which we all know Jimmy and his bladder is about the size of a pea.
Oh my God.
Every 10 miles. So we all go out there while we're out there waiting in the car. Jimmy comes out. We get down the road about 10 miles. And Jimmy asks, did you guys pay for breakfast? We're like, no, we thought you were going to pay for it. He hadn't paid for it either. Oh, so there's like eight of us workers all piled into this car. Get down the road. We're like, oh, well, sorry. But, you know.
I'm going to have to ask Jimmy about that.
He'll probably remember everybody that was with us on that trip, too. There was a few of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like the Oshkosh days. Everybody would stop at Perkins.
Perkins was the place there. And stay, if you didn't stay at the Hojo and go to Perkins, you were part of the crew.
Yeah, that's right. And everybody stayed at the same hotel because the swimming pool stayed open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the people that ran the place like at night at that time, they were real cool. They go, look, we don't care if you're in the pool, just be quiet.
Yeah. You put 20 guys in a pool.
Yeah, it starts off quiet.
Night. No.
It starts off quiet because everybody's starting to get their beer in, and now once the jacuzzi hits and everybody. Before you know it, it's 3 o'clock.
That was our own Oshkosh days.
Yeah, I think he just went up there to have a party and a wrestling show.
Right. The wrestling show was the extra.
Yeah, it was the extra.
He just went up there for the party, and the wrestling was a perk.
No, I get it. If somebody came up to you and they might, I want to get in, what should I do?
Contact Jimmy Blaze. Get on the Power Entertainment website and contact Jimmy Blaze and get in and get the training. If you're serious about doing it, you got to train. You can't be just come in and expect to know everything. But if you want to, if you're serious about getting into business,
it's like
you gotta do it.
Yeah, mouth shut, ears open.
Right.
It doesn't come overnight.
And if you gotta take 100 bumps in a row or do 100 hammer locks in a row, and that's part of the business.
Now, do you help train?
I actually have been up there trying to help a little bit and knock some of my rust off, you know. It's getting there.
It's getting there.
But I'll come May 4th. I'll be ready.
You help train some of the younger guys.
Oh yeah, he's got new guys that are up and comers that I've been in there with, and there's a lot of good talent coming up.
Matter of fact, one of them seemed to come up is like, you know, Big Eric, you know.
Magnus King.
Yes, yeah. Magnus King, definitely a force to be reckoned with when he starts stepping in there. One of the biggest security guys that I have ever seen.
I swear he got stung by something that makes it all big and swole.
You know, I mean, Magnus King is, you know, he's helping keep order out there. Matter of fact, he kind of helped with that breakup too. You know that,
and not that I appreciate it, because at that point I was just out to get Kyle and just teach him a lesson. But Magnus is a big boy, and once he's ready to be in there, if he wants to do it, then he's going to be ready to go. And
yeah,
He's gonna be a name to listen for in the future. So
yeah, he's not gonna have to say my brother. That.
Part of the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, meat and potatoes.
There's another potato over here.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. That sounds good on a t-shirt.
That's what we gotta get. It's our three pictures, and he's on a piece of meat. We're on a couple of potatoes. So there's the meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
It's oh my god.
Triple threat tag match.
Hey, I have always loved the six man tags.
It's,
I
don't know. Hey,
I've always liked it. But there's not that many fans of the six-man tag.
The Freebirds.
I mean, hey, I think that would be a pretty good triple tag team going up.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Trainwrecker and Magnus King as a team.
Meat and potatoes. You cannot go wrong with that gimmick. That's great. People would literally eat that up.
We need to get like a skinny manager and be like, a side of veggies.
We got some greens. This is our veggies.
Our green bean.
Oh, there you go.
Make sure you go dressed in a green suit. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Anything going on with you, Wrecker, before May 4th?
No, doing a lot more coaching and for my daughter's basketball team.
Progress her on winning a few games there in a row.
She scored a point last night's game. So
nice.
That was good. Everybody went crazy.
Should Luke score points? That's a good thing.
Yeah. To their 4-1 right now in the spring league.
Nice.
So yeah, doing good. Doing good.
How are you liking that coaching?
It's different.
It is a different game.
Like I was telling Jen, we were driving up there. I'm like, I feel more nervous like coaching than I do like wrestling and like, being in the ring. Like,
right.
It's nerve wracking. Like
right.
I have to like I'm helping coach like. Seven, eight other, like, 11-year-old girls just trying to get them together as a team. And
you gotta listen to me?
Yeah, so, like, my job, though, is just bringing out that energy in them.
Right.
You know, like, getting them to play at that next level.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, because later down the road, if you can't find that energy, what are you playing with? Like, you're not playing really with any mental or physical ability. You're just playing the
you go
play.
Through the moves.
You said earlier with getting the butterflies in yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't have that feeling, it's not a passion to you to do it.
I'm always yelling, you know, get wide, get tall, don't give up, believe in yourselves, like, let's go. Like, so, I mean, it's a whole different ball game for me coaching now.
And then to see your daughter succeed, too.
Yeah.
I used to coach my daughter in soccer, and to see her get that first goal or to knock some other girl in her butt. It was always good.
Like yesterday, she was getting rebounds. She was getting herself on the floor, going for the ball. Like, as a father, I'm super proud.
Yeah,
you know,
it's good. Coach, I'm like, let's keep going. Keep going on it.
You know, nice. So it's fun. I enjoy it. I'll have a few more games before May 4th. And hopefully get some more wins on there.
Nice. So. Well, there it is, fans. Nice Express Hillbilly Records podcast. We're gonna have a couple other things coming up in the next, several weeks or so.
Yeah.
And you know what? We appreciate you guys listening. Thanks to our sponsor, Chris Hoff. And Chris, I promise I will find the bell. It's around here somewhere. I know it is. But in a big WrestleMania party, I had to kind of clear out the studio.
Yeah.
But other than that, we appreciate the sponsorship out of Chris Hoff, POW Entertainment. Check them out on our YouTube page. What can I say? The Facebook page. We got a lot of dates coming up and some dates that a couple places that we have never even been before.
There's a few new venues.
So new venues, new locations. So definitely keep an eye on that. And if you haven't heard of Hillbilly Records podcast on the last couple of shows, go ahead and give us a listen. We always got people on here that had some great things to say and talk about.
Yeah.
And there it is. So other than that, Mike, thank you very much for coming on
the
show.
It's awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen on the 4th with Kazile. Maybe this is a Mike Blade I haven't seen since the Oshkosh days.
Oh,
yeah, no, because you were pretty wild back then,
That'd be good. That'd be good. If I could still run around like that, I'd amaze myself. In my mind, I could still do it. But
yeah.
We'll get her done.
That's it.
Take care of business. Come game night, take care of business.
That's right. So fans, Like I said, tickets are running out quick. We've got less than 25, 28 tickets left. You got to get them now. So until next time, fans, for the Train Wrecker, this is Hillbilly Nicholas H., and we will talk to you next time.
Choo-choo.